Right. You know, Beter said that the Bolshevik network was the Pentagon and Washington, the British, Australia, and China. You got China, British, and Pentagon, Washington in Canada. So, oh, and he said English. So English, Canada, Britain, United States, Pentagon, and China, and Australia are the Bolshevik network. And Trump is fulfilling the Bolshevik network that Beter predicted, at least on the surface. Beter said that the Bolsheviks would make it a fortress America. And Ayn said, if anybody builds a wall, it'll be to keep Americans in. So on the surface, Trump is totally a Pentagon Bolshevik guy, building for the fortress of America. I think Canada has been sold off, Greg. I think that these people just run amok in Canada.
And I was always confused by Dr. Beter in a way, and as you might expect, I would be. I didn't quite understand why he was calling them Bolsheviks.
Oh, because they ran the Soviet Union, and Rockefellers ran the rest. And they had a secret deal all the way through the 20th century to cooperate. And then that cooperation started to shred in 75 and 76. And that's why there was heated nuclear war talk in the late 70s. And then they had the particle beam fight on the moon. And the Bolshevik Russians won it. They got their laser beam up there, particle beam aiming at America. But unbeknownst to the Bolsheviks, or they didn't know it, how powerful they were, Khrushchev's people. Remember, he got knocked out by Bolshevik Brezhnev. But Gorbachev, being a Khrushchev person, they were the native Russians who overthrew the Bolsheviks out of Russia in 79, 80, 81. So they inherited the takeover of space, and that's why the Russians have not been stopped too much out in space. And the Bolsheviks retreated and took over the Pentagon via the Rockefeller network that they were secretly working with for a secret world government. And they took over by killing John Rockefeller III in July 78, Nelson in January 79. Winthrop was killed a few years earlier. And then David had to step down from Chase Manhattan in 1980 by the summer. So the Rockefellers were out. The Bolsheviks took over the Rockefeller CIA network. And they ran America and whatever other parts of the world for the next, until now, out of the Pentagon. And Reagan was an old Rockefeller guy. That's why he was shot. And the battles in the 80s that Mae Russell would describe on the surface and LaRouche would describe on the surface was always a battle between the old Rockefeller guys and the new Bolsheviks. And that's why people like Secretary of State McNamara joined Vietnam, comes out as a peacenik in 82, 83, and they started the peace movement to go after the Pentagon and their nuclear programming and probably Star Wars. That was all the Rockefellers weakly trying to stop the Pentagon. So America's been a basket case since then. Okay, so you understand that? That's literally the
player. Here's the part I don't understand. If they are Bolsheviks,
literally Russians, they are. They are literally Russians.
If they are, then shouldn't I like them?
You should. Yes, you should be happy.
Why don't I?
Well, they're too corrupt. They do things like you just said about the oil company, the pipeline. They don't have any common sense in what they do that you can hold up as a reason to support them.
Well, all right. Okay.
There's too much corruption overlaying it for you to be ideologically supported.
But the thing is, I don't even see them as. But I don't see them as being ideologically consistent with any of my views.
That's right. That's right. Well, they aren't. They're just power mongers.
I don't know whether I've ever called myself a Bolshevik, but I'm not exactly against Bolshevism. In and of itself.
Right, but see, you're ideologically got a good conscience about it, or would try to be relatively fair, whatever that would mean. These guys aren't. These are gangsters.
Okay, all right. I got it.
No, you are a gangster if you are in any power position in Toronto in the 20th century. I mean, I
like this.
That.
I was looking at on Wikipedia the derogatory usage of Bolshevik. Here it is. Bolo was a derogatory expression for Bolsheviks. used by British service personnel in the North Russian Expeditionary Force, which intervened against the Red Army during the Russian Civil War. So that's when the British tried to take over Russia, right?
Yeah.
Then Adolf Hitler, Joseph Goebbels, and other Nazi leaders used it in reference to the worldwide political movement coordinated by the Comintern. During the days of the Cold War in the United Kingdom, labor union leaders and other leftists were sometimes derisively described as Bolshies. The use is roughly equivalent to the term commie, red, or pinko in the United States during the same period. The term Bolshe later became a slang term for anyone who was rebellious, aggressive, or truculent. So there you have it.
So what, did you start off with the word bolo?
Yeah, bolo. Yeah.
Yeah, that the French Bolshevik propagandist Severo Latrenje out of Columbia University that created the postmodern movement by publishing these little books called Semiotext that you could get down at Pages there, if you ever went into Pages, little black books, Model on McLuhan's The Mediumism of Size. I knew Severo, but he presented all the lefty pomo anarchists. And one of the books is called Bolo, and I remember it was not that meaning. It's like B apostrophe O L O or B O apostrophe L O. Is there an apostrophe in your bolo?
No.
What?
No, not at all. No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
All right. So I think it's a different meaning, but close. But anyways, so
where's our pal?
Don't worry about being a Bolshevik, Craig. Don't worry about being a Bolshevik. I'm here.
Where's our friend back?
And that's Bert laughing there. That's Bert making his entrance there, Greg.
Okay.
You served me with a good, hearty black laugh.
Bert is with us now, is he?
Yes.
Bob,
yes.
I just read yesterday. Oh, this is a perfect segue. I just read yesterday in Fatty Communion at the last part, the back part, that you and Dr. Beter did something in, was it July 1982? Can you go into that?
Yes. September 17th. Okay. So Beter was the only guy. I think Greg knows a bit about this, right, Greg? Nuclear War One.
Go on. I know about the gold stuff.
Oh, no. The most important event until I had showed up, and you guys, nobody knows about it. I'm sorry. I'm a bad reporter of my own history. Oh, by the way, I saved the world. I'm just getting around to it after being on the radio here for 10 years. So Beter, he exposed the Rockefeller, Zionist, Bolshevik battle, the three parts. And he brought in the Christian element in Russia that overthrew the Bolsheviks. So because there was a real battle between the Rockefellers, who were losing in 80, 81, 82, and the Bolsheviks suppressing the Rockefellers and taking over their empire and then trying to fight off the advanced Russian, they were called the Skopsi, a secret Christian sect, and they inherited the particle beam weapon on the moon. So there was going to be a nuclear war in 82. So in January 25th, 82, Haig made an announcement. Now, Haig was an old Rockefeller guy, and he had to quit or something. Remember the big announcement, January 25th, 82, he made a statement. And remember, he had tried to take over the White House. See, these little nutty things are explained this way. When Reagan got shot, Haig jumped to the microphone and said he's in charge. But there's a pecking order, like goes to the maybe the vice president, the speaker of the house, you know, it doesn't go to the secretary of state. And nobody understood why Haig jumped in there and, you know, violated all protocol and claimed that he was in charge. And he made a fool of himself. But that's because he was Rockefeller. He knew that this was supposed to be shooting his guy, Reagan. And so it was a desperate fight for power. He didn't care about the rules or how it looked. He tried to get it, and he didn't. And Beter said Haig failed, and I think he quit soon after that. And there would be nuclear war by the summer of 82. So where the Pentagon Bolsheviks would nuke Moscow. So it's pretty dramatic listening to Beter's recordings in February, March, April, May, June, July, 82, as he shows the news events reflecting what was really going on in the secret war. And if you remember, In September, the famous blowing up of the Lebanese, the Marine base in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
250 Marines killed or something. I don't know if I got the exact. That happened before September 17th or after. I can't remember. But that's where Ralph. Now we come back to Ralph Shulman. He was there during this very violent scene in Palestine and got all the photographs out and made a book about it. I think it was a book. But he always made them talk about being there and witnessing the whole horrible wiping out of the Palestinians. So Peter is building up through the summer that he's going to do something about it. And so he and I were coordinating. And so on September 17th, 1982, in the morning on Washington Political Radio, a journalist got on and played and discussed Peter's warning in the August 82 tape, which said the nuclear war will happen on September 17th. So this is actually the date given. So on September 17th in the morning, meanwhile, Paul or Shannon, my foster daughter, they're cowering there. They overheard me and Carol talking about it, so we had to fucking tell them one day and scaring these 16-year-olds. I mean, how old was she? 82, born 65. What was that? 17?
Yeah.
Something like 17. She and her girlfriend were... I came home in the afternoon, and they were holding on each other in Carolyn's spare office for patients and just shivering, waiting to be nuked. And so we had a little bit of irresponsible leakage of information there affecting my foster kid. So anyways, that's what I remember personally about that. So anyways, Peter's journalist gets on the air and plays the recording, warns all of Washington, which is a separate universe there. You know, it's a separate, it's like the Vatican. It runs its own scene and dominates America, especially Pentagon controlled. And they, and so the alarm went out all over wherever it meant in the Pentagon. Uh-oh, we've been exposed by Dr. Peter and Dobbs. So they did not do the nuclear strike called Nuclear War One. And so to cover up and create other problems, they caused that massacre the next day. So you can look up the dates there. The huge massacre, something happened, either the Lebanese, the Marine base might have been 83, and it was the Palestinian massacre, which was pretty huge, in September 17th, 18th, 1982. So if you read my memo to Prince Charles, I brag about it in the book, Fatic Communion, which you have a copy of. Oh yeah, that's what you're reading. You're reading that, how we saved the world on September 17th, 82. That's what we did. And then Peter, retired in November 82 by ending with a prediction that Brezhnev would step down, and he predicted a Gorbachev, eventual Gorbachev would take over, because Gorbachev comes out of the Christian Skopsy sect. So he laid it out, and when he stopped in November 82, that was the 80th recording he'd done since 1975, and then his associates carried on a newsletter for about another year, getting us ready for the Gorbachev era. So all this, you know, Gorbachev dismantling the wall and all that, that was all part of this Rockefeller who had now joined up with the Russians against the Bolsheviks. So a lot of the weird mysteries of the 80s, like why was McNamara coming out and admitting he was guilty for Vietnam, and other weird paradoxes in the peace movement, why were all these Rockefeller establishment people in the 60s and 70s, pro-Vietnam people, suddenly against war and anything that the Reagan White House was trying to do. It all can fit into Peter's explanation. So that's Nuclear War One, September 1782. I did it. Thanks. Praise Bob. And we don't expect anybody to believe it.
Hey, I never would have had my own company if you hadn't saved the world.
That's right. You guys would have had nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Crispy Chris, as someone said earlier in the show. Who was that? There's some recording I played. Was it it was Crispy Chris. Who were we playing?
And Robin Leach would not have been able to do Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Yeah, see, the 80s is a very corrupt time in normal humanist values. The money people took over, glamour and yuppification, and total, for the average, you know, Bolshevik humanist like Greg, it was a disgusting America. Well, that's because it was a politically controlled, Bolshevik-controlled America So nobody could be really effective in politics anymore. So they all went into cocaine and making money in Wall Street. That was the corruption caused by the Bolsheviks, and it never stopped. You know what I mean?
No.
Could you guys agree there was a change in the tone of America under Reagan?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, when you understand it's because it became a concentration camp with Pentagon Bolshevik control, and occasionally some obscure researcher would announce, hey, there's a guy here who had a talk at some press club in Washington, and he has a Russian name, and he's the key guy in the Pentagon. Who in the fuck is he? And and this would be before the Internet, and so people would be on the phone network and whatever bulletins and zines they had, noticing occasionally these weird Russian names would show up in very authoritative positions in the Pentagon, in American power. And no one ever followed up. Somebody would find it, and then no one would be interested in it. And I'd be telling people wherever I got interviewed, I said, it's the fucking Bolsheviks. Peter's right. Like, do something about it. I was so ineffective. You guys here 40 years later don't even know I did that. I didn't even bother telling anybody, so sorry.
No, we don't even know we were alive to you.
Beg your pardon? Patrick. Yeah, you don't even know that. Yeah. I just make the declaration. I don't bother proving it. I don't even tell you why I'm great. I just say I'm great.
Well, believe me, we don't want to hear the proof.
That's right.
We accept it at whole cloth.
Okay, so...
there need not be any disagreement or questioning.
You know, you could...
Unnecessary.
If you went through the May Brussels sheets for every week in the 80s, and LaRouche... You could name different things that were newsworthy that May would look into and find there were great questions about this obvious conspiracy and that. And then I only the only guy who knew the Beater level. I could do a great history of, say, 20 years of American history, the 80s, 90s, explaining it in Beater terms. And all the mysteries would be viably explained by how I just did what I'm saying here. Yeah. So that's interesting. But it's a long time ago now, isn't it? 30 years
ago.
Yes, it is. 36 years ago, Bob. 36 years.
Yeah, it's almost 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness. Do you realize my chart has me taking over quite definitively in 2020. That sounds like about a 40-year interval. That's 1980 when the Bolsheviks took over America. 40 years, 2020. Holy shit. I never thought of that. We're doing a 40-year wilderness walk until lockdown Bob Rule in 2020. And I assure you, Trump will be king by then. There'll be no fucking elections. He'll be king for life. And my heart weeps for Canada. There ain't going to be no Canada. We're sure of that.
And Bob?
So get comfortable, Greg. Go to Vancouver. Get on the beach at Shawinigan Lake and enjoy your final days out there.
Bob.
What?
The one thing is that will we ever hear Michael Ledeen's name crop up again?
That's very important. Now, he's part of the Zion. All that confusion over him and the guy Mordecai Vanunu and these, interesting Israelis getting arrested, and then the compromise of how Israel ran the Washington. That is the complex of the Zionists, the Bolsheviks, and the Rockefellers all mixed up. You know what I mean? That's where the power of the Mossad comes from. Because they all work together. And I used to say that the Android meme was a post-information society. So therefore, all the old systems of information, the Jesuits, the Royal Society of England, the Bolsheviks, the Nazis, and the Mossad, they were all in the same room. Fighting each other, like you see on TV shows subsequently, all stepping in each other's toes. And that's why they're always all mixed up. And innocent humanists like Daniel and Greg would get on there and say, what the fuck is this? Why is Israel running everything? It's because it was the go-between between the Bolsheviks and the Rockefellers and then the Christian Russian group. You couldn't tease apart who was who from the 80s on. You know what I mean? If you knew the structure... You knew there was a fight within the committee room.
And Bob, imagine that the reason I even know who Michael Ledeen is because of the Hollywood rabbi's daughter.
That's right. Yeah, Mae Brussels. And I think he showed up a year or two ago, but I haven't seen anything lately.
I remember I'd be watching, you know, Mae Brussels. I heard about Michael Ledeen in those Mae Brussels tapes from a long time ago. And then just, you know, maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there's Michael Ledeen crops up again. I'm going,
yeah,
wow,
yeah.
Look at this guy. He's coming out again. And
yeah.
Now get this. I'm on his Wikipedia page here now. Get this. Ledeen has also advocated that U.S. leaders take a stronger rhetorical stance in wars on Islamic regimes and militant groups. For instance, he's recommended in public talks that U.S. leaders question or challenge defeated Islamic militaries or forces regarding the apparent failure of Allah to assure their victory.
Yeah, no, see, he's part of the Zionist. The hard-line Zionist is aligned with the Bolsheviks in the Pentagon, and the soft-line Rockefeller Zionists are different, you know. So the division in Israeli politics is along the Zionist Bolshevik gang against the Zionist Rockefeller gang. You see? Like, they're all assholes, but then there's some of them look a little better than the other side. You know, it's like, what is it, Sharon versus the guy who got killed, the premier. Rabin got assassinated.
Did he? I lose track. Sharon, Sharon went into became a vegetable for a few years, right?
Mostly became a vegetable. That was all staged for other purposes, right? They put some other double in. But who's the guy who got assassinated? Was it Rabin? Satanic murder of Rabin by Netanyahu. Like, you can understand Netanyahu is a Bolshevik guy, you know? The Likud. See, had the woman. What was the woman who was the great Israel?
Golda Meir?
He was assassinated, Bob. 1995.
See, you've got the Rockefeller Zionists around the woman you just said, Golda Meir. But remember, she steps down in the 70s or loses, and those assholes that work with the Nazis, according to Ralph Shulman, Begin and those guys, they come in the late 70s when the Bolsheviks are really getting pissed off. So the Bolshevik Zionists take over Israel, and it's never been nice since. And then there's always a battle between the Rockefeller Zionists against the Bolshevik Zionists ever since. And Rabin got knocked out, and so did Sharon, for probably different factional reasons. They're probably on opposite factions. So the mess in Israel, the meanness, is because of this battle. So behind the scenes, you have a real power struggle for taking over the world, and the Bolsheviks started to lose when they missed their victory in the moon, and they're on the run, and they have, since 1980, put America in retreat and isolated and pissing everybody off, sort of leaving the international community. And Trump is acting that out much in the Beater scenario. But I think Trump, if Ion is right, Trump is a gangster infiltrating the other gangsters and pulling off something else. So that's what's interesting, how to look at Trump as a working in the Bolshevik scenario, going along with it with these other disruptive things. And the other important thing is the power of Ottawa and English Canada under Mulroney in the 80s. That was a major Bolshevik thing. And Alan, whatever his name is, the guy who was the ambassador to the United States all through the 80s, he was the most traveled diplomat or ambassador to the Washington airport than anybody else in the world, because Bolshevik-controlled Pentagon needed Ottawa, and so that guy, Alan, whatever his name was, would go back and forth constantly, because that was the real power. And there was me in the middle of it for the Secret Council 10 telling you fuckers in indirect ways, because Toronto was Bolshevik-controlled, and Greg knew that. That's why Greg made no friends in Toronto. They were all assholes, even though Greg thought he was a Bolshevik or something.
And look at and as I've gone into before, Bob, the Secret Council of Ten, if you look at the name of the radio station, CKLN, Secret Council of Ten, right?
That's what Norman Otis Richmond.
CKLN.
Yeah, that's Norman Otis Richmond. He kept saying me, CKLN.
Secret Council of Ten. Secret Council of Ten. It's cold. I tell you.
But, you know, Bolshevik-controlled Canada, Norman Otis is totally a Bolshevik pawn. Propped up, professional Bolshevik black with a terrible show, terrible speech patterns. He almost revealing that it was Secret Council 10. He almost said it. You know, disgusting situation there. That's what we're dealing with. And there was me in the heart of it, broadcasting out of the heart of the beast, Toronto. I mean, Toronto's a weird place. And the you have to look at the power of Mulroney to dump Canada for NAFTA and the Bolsheviks. And so then when I met Harold Channer, this is amazing. All secrets come to me. So I met Harold Channer in 2000. And he invited me over to his place after interviewing me in like June or something. And there and that night in the party was Ornette Coleman, who I'd last seen in 1972. Ornette Coleman, the great jazz guy, lived above Harold in the building on West 36th Street. And I also met the founder of rock, Giorgio. I can't remember his name, but anyways, he's the one who did everything. I've talked about him before. He came out of Russia. If you thought rock was a communist conspiracy, then Giorgio was the proof of it.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Are you talking about Giorgio Moroder?
Giorgio.
Gomelsky?
Giorgio Gomelsky? George Gomelsky?
Oh, yeah. I'm sort of familiar with that name.
I've told you guys a story. Just look up Gomelsky, G-O-M-E-L-S-K-Y. Maybe, I don't know if he has a wiki entry, but he's lots of journalism. He is a major figure in rock and roll, going back to the 1960. An amazing story. Born in Russia in 1935. It's Giorgio Gomelsky. Anyways, what am I? Hey, Greg, you were at my channeling with Glow at the Drake in October 2012. I think you were there for that, right?
I was, yes.
I introduced that evening by saying there were two people responsible for this situation. Marsha McLuhan for the formal dynamics and the content, rock and roll and everything, Giorgio Gomelsky. You would have heard me talk about Gomelsky.
Yeah, that's why I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can go see that videotape somewhere on, I think, on Iron Bob. But back to what were we talking about? What was I saying to you guys about Canada? Oh, Mulroney, the free trade.
Gomelsky is actually a Georgian. It's actually Georgian.
Right. Yes. Is there a Wikipedia entry or just a journalistic article?
No, there's a Wikipedia entry.
Yeah, and also put in New York Press. They did a long story on him around this time that I met him in 2000. So I'm there with Harold Channer, and I get to meet, and then they like Carol and I, so I would go to dinner at his place occasionally. So eventually his girlfriend, who he was living off of, told me this story. That big apartment, she was married to a big American Wall Street guy in the 80s, and she witnessed for years them plotting quite openly in the home there, in the apartment, their takeover of Canada. And she said they did it. But she eventually divorced the guy. He was such a creep. But here I met a woman who witnessed this cabal from Wall Street planning some kind of thing for Canada. So I thought that was pretty interesting. She wouldn't tell me who they were. She was afraid of them. You know, she wouldn't say the name of the guy. But she inherited the apartment, and then Harold piggybacked into there. Harold's still there doing it 40 years, 35 years later or something. But that was pretty interesting to hear someone hearing that. You know what I mean? And she just told me out of the blue. She didn't know Beater or anything. She just said, I know my husband and his guys did something in Canada. So that's the hidden thing of free trade Canada. So if Canada has always been aligned with the Bolsheviks, represented by Mulroney, what happened when Chretien and those guys come in? Are they all basically compromised politicians, if they're liberals and that? Greg, are they ineffective Mulroneys?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, they're all working for Washington. And McLuhan said way back in the 70s, Canada was the first country to start off as a colony, became a nation, then became a colony again. And he's saying that in 72. But the difficulty of Justin Trudeau, can you imagine him being briefed after he becomes prime minister about the actual history? And they probably played him old CLN recordings. Okay, here's your Canadian historian, Bob Dobbs. Here's what happened. And then he contradicted himself on everything, right? Canceled all the and becomes a lousy image.
Well, he's got Adam Vaughan to help him to do the briefings there about you.
Right? That's right.
Trudeau gets briefed by Adam Vaughan. That's his only use.
Now listen, Bolshevik-controlled Colin Vaughan, Adam's father, running Bolshevik-controlled Moses Neimer, Bolshevik Zionist alliance. You got all that stuff there happening in Toronto. And Nelson used to go on, he'd say, the most powerful person in the fucking world, Canada, is John Tory. He'd go on about that. And I don't know if he meant his father or the present mayor. I mean, how old is the mayor?
I don't know how old. He's got to be in his mid-60s, I figure.
I think that's too young, though. I'm not sure. And I don't talk to Nelson anymore.
Tory?
So.
How old is John Tory? John Tory,
yeah.
You know what? John Tory is a year and a half older than I am.
Well, that's nothing. We're talking 30 years ago. He'd be in his 20s, so he was not the most powerful. So look at who is his father. His father was very important, I think. Like on the level of Conrad Black. And look what happened to Conrad Black, how he got all fucked up in the middle of this.
His father was John A. Tory, president of Thompson Investments Limited. And a director of Rogers Communications.
Right. And stuff, Thompson, that's the very wealthy family, the Thompsons, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
He's the guy in charge of the purse strings. And so look at the fate of Conrad Black, who was part of the Canadian establishment, and then obviously had to become a Bolshevik-controlled guy and got caught in the crossfire and put in jail. See, the whole thing that happened to him is explanatory in these Beater terms. Because he was a very powerful person in the 70s. You've got the basic collapse of the Bolshevik. This structure happened in September 2008 when the world economy collapsed and has never really recovered. That's the end of the Beater scenario. And then Ion shows up to say, Bob, it's wide open, Bob. Your prophecy for yourself is going to come true, Bob. We're going to give you a few key trinkets to sell to the people, and you will be worshipped, blah, blah, blah. And this will be bigger than Christendom. So, you know, that's what you're witnessing here. The most powerful guy is me watching the dregs of the Rockefeller, Bolshevik, Zionist, Russian Skopsky thing limp their way to 2020. Too much for you?
Awesome. No. it's amazing.
Yeah, and Greg, you see, I always align with the good guys. Greg, the only honest journalist in Toronto. Here he is, still today, working with Dobstown.
Right. Here I am, somehow.
It used to be so funny because you and Daniel were generally puzzled about why everybody was so fucking stupid who was in power. Well, because they were all compromised by the hidden structure of the Bolshevik Rockefeller fuck-up. You see what I'm saying? That's why...
Yeah.
You have these nuts. Okay, so what did the Bolsheviks do first? And this Zapper writes about this in his autobiography, and he doesn't mention me by name, but I'm the guy who told him in 79. In 79, when the Bolsheviks had to retreat from the Soviet Union and take over American government as much as possible from the Pentagon, who did they wake up? Jerry Falwell and the Moral Majority. That's how that whole Christian thing that freaked out the baby boomers who were all learning how to be Studio 54 humanists or hedonists, all of a sudden the world went right wing. What the fuck happened? This ain't our future. You know what I mean?
Damn.
When the fundamentalist Christians took over.
Yeah.
That was the local culture that the Bolsheviks propped up.
Greg, I learned
really?
So much. I've learned so much history from Bob, the links of what was
the patterns that make sense, because everything looked fishy since Reagan got in, right? It's no doubt.
I was finishing school when Reagan got in, so I remember how weird it just got right when he was elected. Really,
it makes total sense. When you understand that, you know, the Rockefellers all die in 1978-79, and then the Rockefeller is weak, and then the Japanese buy fucking Rockefeller Center around 1984, and, you know, Sony stood for Standard Oil of New York, So they are always a Rockefeller. But then they got taken over by the Bolsheviks. So then you had the Bolshevik Japan, and they did okay till 97. Then their economy collapsed, and they never recovered. So it's hard to tell which country is run by who in this mishmash. But there's, as a matter of fact, the whole internet thing, I think Peter was saying, it never got exactly clear, or the Evergreens added a bit, because I would talk to Peter after he died. And so it might have been Peter comes to the Evergreens. The internet global economy was the last gasp of the Rockefeller banking structures. And the governments didn't like the internet, and the governments were controlled by the Bolsheviks, and they ran Echelon, you know, the space surveillance, and they stole promise. You know this thing, you take any kind of development of Washington, like promise software, and it gets stolen. There's no patriotism.
Right.
That's because the Bolsheviks would steal whatever anybody brought to Washington. Anything you offered. And it made the medical thing became corrupt. You know, endless, ridiculous drugs for no reason at all, but makes total sense in this Beter scenario. And so then when Ion came, you know how Ion happened, Greg? Ion happened in March 2009 because JW, this billionaire in Atlanta, started seeing ghosts, and they'd gather, hundreds of them gather around in his room and talk to him, and he told me about this. And then a few weeks later, he called me up and said, Bob, do you know a Dr. Peter Beter? I said, yeah. He was a friend of mine. He died in 87. Well, he came to me last night as a ghost and said, say hi to Bob. this shocked JW. But then when I gave him the background of Beter, I said, you know, this could be the Evergreens, these ghosts, because they hadn't been talking for 4.5 years through Michael Blake Reed. So I've done this 100 times, but just for Greg. So what happened the next day? I said, let me talk to this ghost, or the ghosts around you, and see what happens. And the Evergreens, that's how we got Ion, which we at first thought were the Evergreens for the first couple of days. The point is, on March 25th, I mean, I did a session on March 18th, March 20th, March 22nd, a whole 2 hours with James Joyce on March 22nd, talking about Finney's Wake. Then on March 25th, we did 6 hours, and a good chunk of it was talking to Beter, and Beter explained the gold deal and all that he was doing to take over, to knock off the Rockefellers, and he got caught in the crossfire. And what we are going to do, he said, he attempted, but it failed, and now it's up to you, Bob, and JW and Carolyn, and he caused this thing. It's because he spoke through JW to me that I said, oh, let's talk to these ghosts. So Beter is still working with us. Isn't that incredible?
Where's his gold?
The gold he never got. Ion keeps saying, Bob is being sent the gold. I got the gold. That's what's talked about a lot 5-7 years ago. Remember that, Bert? The gold is going to Bob. Now, JW was in the middle of that.
Stars.